even for the most noble-minded people, even followers of Christ. It can happen with good families. It can happen in good churches. It can even happen here at New Heights. We will be offended, and we will offend. It's a reality of life. So what should we do about that reality? Paul says that on the basis of our having died with Christ, then the behaviors of our old life should also die. So, things like angry retaliation, hey, that's a part of the old life. Die. Maliciousness and slander, part of the old life. Die. Immorality belongs to the old life. Sentence? Death. Okay? Greedy and filthy talk belongs to the old life. Sentence? Death. Alright? That's what we need to do. As new creations in Christ, we have a whole new behavior style because our focus is now aimed on an entirely different location. Our focus is on the things above, where Christ is seated next to God Almighty. Our focus is on the character of Christ, for it is Christ's character that best exemplifies compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So if we're looking for a model on how to forgive or how to love, we have the best model in Christ. Thus, as those who have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, as those who have died to our old nature and been raised to new life in Christ, we find that our nurture and support come from Christ. Now listen. We don't go to the old well of the old life, to get a drink of dirty water to feed our whatever remains of our old life. We don't go to the cupboard making sure that we've taken a clean glass and then fill it with dirty dishwater so we can have a drink. Rather, we pour clean water, probably even filtered water, into that clean glass so that we can be properly nourished. And spiritually speaking, we go to the new well, not the old well. We go to the new well where we drink living water that nourishes our new life in Christ. See, we're talking about whole new way of operating. We're new people. Not just trying to reform our old selves. No, we die to that and we start a whole new life. Our source of nourishment for our new life in Christ is found in Christ. And that's why we keep our focus on Him. Notice at the end of verse 13 when Paul asks us to forgive, he does so with the added qualifier, how are we supposed to forgive? Forgive as Christ has forgiven you. Follow Christ's lead, as he says. And it's true. The way that we forgive others is directly linked to our perception of how we have been forgiven. If you're pretty slow at forgiving, think about what you see as how much you have been forgiven. See, if we truly understand God's grace, if we truly understand how undeserving we are of the forgiveness that Christ has extended to us, it will have tremendous implications for the forgiveness that we extend to others. any of you who are have any time under your belt of driving or being in a car and watching, I don't cease being amazed at those drivers who are so quick to curse me when I have made a small and unintentional mistake. It's as though they never make a mistake in driving. And I'm often kind of interested in following them after they've passed me by, just to kind of see, do they ever make mistakes in their driving for which they ought to be extended some grace and forgiveness? Oh, no, they don't, because they own the road and they can only offend, but they don't know that because it, anyway. I really haven't had a recent confrontation that way recently. You see, our self-righteousness will undermine our interest in being a forgiver. Get that? If we think that we don't even need to be forgiven, why would we be interested in giving forgiveness? But when we stay in touch with the truth of how generous God has been to us, it is much easier then to extend that same generosity to others. In verse 14, Paul refers to love as the binding agent of all the other virtues, including forgiveness. This is what we were referring to when Matt shared. Love being that binding agent. You know what particle board is? It's like sawdust mixed with glue, and then all pressed into the shape of a board. All those little pieces of dust, like all those pieces of godly virtue, held together, bound together with glue, and for these virtues to be bound together with love. And that is our calling, to link ourselves so closely and so intimately with Christ that His love binds together our lives and builds His character into ours. Paul speaks more of how this is accomplished, of how we are to feed our new life. He says in verse 15 that the peace of Christ needs to be our standard. It needs to be our standard in how we relate with each other. And that the Word of Christ needs to be the content of our relationships. So we have a standard that guides our relationships, and then we have the Word of Christ that's the content. Notice verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. See, as followers of Christ, we need to constantly measure our attitudes and actions in light of the peace of Christ. See, that word rule, where it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, that's a lot like the umpire or the official out on the basketball court. So the basketball player measures his play in light of that ever-presence, and now they're putting out three of them, right? They put three officials out there on the basketball court. Try and make sure they don't miss a thing. Yeah? So they measure their play in light of the presence of these officials, not wanting to be disqualified from play for too many violations or too many fouls. So Christians need to measure their behavior in light of the standard called the peace of Christ. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ arbitrate. So when you're deciding, man, I want to really get back at that guy, oh, there's the official, peace of Christ. Not a good idea, huh? No. Remember how much you've been forgiven. You think you want to just kind of mess things up? No, I don't want to mess it up. Peace of Christ, rule. Thank you. Then, also, as followers of Christ, we need to bring the Word of Christ into our interactions and relationships. And Paul says we do it in at least three ways. We teach each other the Word of Christ. We admonish or warn each other with the Word of Christ. And thirdly, we sing the Word of Christ in mutual worship. Three ways that we bring the Word of Christ into our relationships. This is how we live in God's kingdom and how we are then empowered to live as forgivers and as lovers, living this whole new life that we have in Christ. Now, the ultimate act of God's love was when He sent His Son to be sacrificed so that we would be forgiven once and for all. And as we've read, now He wants us to do likewise. Forgive as Christ has forgiven you. Now, it's interesting how hurtful acts bring us to a crossroads. You know what I mean? We can't stand at that intersection very long. It's as though there's no middle ground. Either we decide to move in the direction of forgiving the person who has hurt us, or we decide to hold on to bitterness and anger and begin to entertain ways of revenge. We're at a crossroads. Now, I don't think any of us are naive in this matter of forgiveness. Forgiveness can take time. Forgiveness will likely be costly. But it is also worth it. For forgiveness breaks the power that holds us captive to the hurt, captive to the offense. And the sooner that we take the course leading to forgiveness, the sooner we can be free from that bitterness that will destroy us. Now, 50 years ago, this month, in fact, on this day, 50 years ago, those five missionaries died. This is the anniversary day. Five missionaries dared to make contact with a group of Stone Age Indians who were in desperate need of making the discovery of the power of forgiveness. See, from what we know about them, they were the least likely candidates for the Nobel Peace Prize. No one who had come face to face with the Wadani Indians had lived to tell about it. But as an outgrowth of having been forgiven and enjoying the freedom of that forgiveness, five missionaries and their families moved to Ecuador to attempt to reach these Wadani Indians with the message of forgiveness and love and salvation in Jesus Christ. They knew the cost, the potential cost, and yet they still dared to make contact. So on this, the 50th anniversary of their daring attempt to make contact with a very hostile group of people, we, the Church of Christ, are being encouraged to make contact with those today who need to discover the power of forgiveness in their lives. The families of these missionaries were put to the ultimate test. Would they ever be able to forgive the Wadani Indians for killing their husbands and fathers? You see, these five missionaries had been on a mission of love, a mission to teach the meaning of forgiveness. That was the message they wanted to communicate. But before they could begin to even reason with these people, they killed him. Kind of put an end to the story, huh? Now, how do you teach these people of the love and forgiveness of God? Bit of a problem here, isn't it? But is there any more powerful way to teach forgiveness and love than to extend forgiveness and love to those who have already inflicted you with some of your deepest pain? Among us today are parents who have had their love for their children shunned. Children who have turned their backs on Christ and their parents, and in the process inflicted deep hurt. But those hurting parents have a powerful force yet available to them. For a day will likely come when those children will come to their senses and need a powerful demonstration of forgiveness and love from the very ones that they have shunned. And at that time, forgiveness will transform those months and years of pain into joyful triumph. Tonight you're invited to view the documentary Beyond the Gates of Splendor. It tells the story of how these missionaries and how the survivors particularly kept daring to make contact, and how that bore the fruit of changed lives. To close the sermon, I would like to show you another video clip, this one of a close friend of those five missionaries. He was sent to the scene immediately following the massacre. You'll hear him tell not only that they understood the risk of trying to make contact with these Indians, but you will hear what gave them the freedom to do it, the freedom to go, how they understood their mission. So I hope this clip, as well as this message, will stir up your interest to join us tonight for the entire video documentary and help you see the power of forgiveness and the power of love that is available to you.
The helicopter said, "Now there's a body down below here." But when I got so close, I could see it was Nate.
We pulled up
alongside. I could see he had a spear right here in his head. And he had a cut in his face with a machete right here. I could see that. One thing I noticed, his wristwatch was not here, but it was clear up here. But he always did that. whenever he wanted to remember something, he'd pull his wristwatch up here. I knew that. But anyway, I was supposed to tie a rope on him. I couldn't do it. I tried. Couldn't do it. So the missionary that was with me, he saw I was having trouble. So he said, "I'll do it." He tied him. We pulled him. My pilot is gone. Felt so badly, terrible. But hey, you can't feel this way now. Get going. You got to get out of here. Get these people. Do what you can and leave. Can't sit here and cry. So we did. Brought him up to the beach. There was Jim. There was Pete. There was Nate. And then two others of my missionary friends and the Indians had gone way downstream. And they had brought Roger back. And of course, as soon as I saw him coming, he always wore blue jeans and his t-shirt and tennis shoes. And I could see right away who it was, my buddy. Got it? Walked the trails with me. It's gone. So we laid him on the beach. They had guns with them. They had said that they would never kill the Alcas, even if they attacked them, because they made this straight statement, they're not ready for heaven, and we are.
Oh, may today we who are ready for heaven join the tribe of those who are daring to make contact for the glory of God by extending forgiveness and love in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please stand up.
Accepted.
intent of this Sunday and the next two Sundays is to prepare you to be able to have conversations with those who would see the movie End of the Spear, conversations that would lead you to talk about even the forgiveness that you have received in Christ. And why would people take such great risk to share the love of Christ? And it may be that God's asking you to take a few risks as well in sharing Christ. Receive then this benediction. May the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly, so that whatever you do, whether in word or deed, you will do it all with thanksgiving in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.